Let's pray. Father, thank you. I pray that you minister your word to us. Let your sweet Holy Spirit overshadow us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Can you take your seat? Amen. I believe that from this month, God is going to do some amazing things in our lives. And because of that, we need to lay a solid foundation regarding the blessings that God wants to bring to us. Now, one of the most important things in our lives is our salvation. Somebody say salvation. Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and shall lose his soul? So salvation is very important. Recently, I watched a short clip on Neil Armstrong, the very first man who stepped on the moon in 1969. I remember I had the privilege of going to see the stones they came, they brought from the moon. One of them was placed in the science museum, in a museum in Accra. So I went to see it. And what the man said was that much as he stepped on the moon for just a few days, he realized that walking with Jesus is the most important thing. First man that walked on the moon, but he said walking with Jesus is the best thing in life. And so our salvation must mean so much to us. You must cherish your salvation, guard your salvation, protect your salvation, and build on your salvation. Can I have an amen? Because when you have Christ, you have everything. So I want to be sharing on the pillars of our salvation. Somebody say, the pillars of our salvation. You can see that this, our building here at the back there goes high. And it's, as it goes high, it's resting on pillars. And for your life to be exhibited and to become a blessing, you need to understand the pillars of your salvation. But every building has a foundation first. Amen. And the foundation of a building has several components. Like you need a cement, you need sand and stones, you need water, iron rods. You need the skills of artisans. But if the foundation is not done well, there will be cracks in the building. And so in Psalm 11 verse 3, it says, if the foundation be destroyed, what will the righteous do? Tell somebody your foundation should not be destroyed. So to be a strong Christian, you must have a solid foundation. Tell somebody you have a solid foundation. Why? Because you see, if you don't have a solid foundation, your Christian life will collapse. There are many, many buildings which collapse. And when you check up, you realize that they had structural defects. You can see a very nice building, but there are cracks, and it's because the foundation was not right. And in the same way too, there are many Christians, people can rise up, become leaders, pastors, prophets, whatever, but you can see certain kind of cracks in their life. They can quote scriptures, they can do all kinds of things, and they have a semblance of power, but there is a very weak foundation. And so it's very important that we take our time and build on our foundation well. Can I have an amen? There are foundations that can take 100 stories. 190 something stories. When you go to Dubai, there's a building called Burj Khalifa. Very, very tall building. And it's because the foundation is deep. They have to dig deep. The higher you want to go, the deeper you have to go, and you put it. When we're building this place, it's like we're digging and digging and putting, and money was going, And you said nothing was coming up, but for you to go up, you've got to go deep. So a lot of times, for you, your Christian life and whatever God wants you to become, to be seen, for a long period of time, your life will go in kind of a hibernation. It's going down, and it's like, hey, People are coming up, talking about others and all those things. It's not about talking about others. It's taking your time because you know where you're getting to in life. Can I have an amen? So, the foundation is important. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 49, the Bible talks about a fool building a house without a foundation. Eh? Luke chapter, it says, but he that heareth and does not is like a man. The one who hears the word and does not do it is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, and against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You see, so when you build, whatever it is, the elements of the earth are going to come against it. The wind is going to blow. The rains are going to come down, you know. But if it's going to stand, then it depends on the kind of foundation that we have built. Hallelujah. Now, what is the foundation that we have built? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. First of all, we are saved and called. Tell somebody we are saved and called. Who has saved us? You say, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling? Saved us and called us. Saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to ours, but according to his own purpose and grace. Now, the saving comes first before the call. Amen. So, whatever you are doing as a Christian, you must see yourself as saved. If you come to church and you are not saved, then your calling to do anything will not work well. The reason why people easily get offended, oh, they didn't praise me, the pastor did this and that, day, and they easily get angry and irritated, is because they have not understood their salvation well. Because first of all, you are saved. Their call is on top of their salvation and not the other way around. And so if you value your salvation, then it will get you to become committed to stay in the house of God and flow. Can I have an amen? If you, these days, all kinds of things have come into the system. If you have a pastor or a leader who is not saved, he can be holding the Bible. See, the fact that somebody is holding the Bible and quoting scriptures doesn't mean that he may feel called, but if he's not saved, then your life is in danger. Amen? Yeah, your life is in danger. A young lady, he said, come and see me. I have to sleep with you so that there are problems or something, you know, you'll be sanctified. And because you don't even know the word of God yourself, that you don't have to sleep with anybody, listen to me, if you are not married to anybody, you have no business sleeping with a person. Even if the person says, I'll marry you. I'll marry you doesn't mean you are married. Oh, you didn't say amen. Yeah. If I say I'll give you 10 CDs and haven't given it to you, it means you don't have it. Can I have an amen? So, you can put yourself in the hands of dangerous pastors. Now, a dangerous pastor is not somebody who doesn't know how to preach, but who is not born again properly, who is not saved. A dangerous Christian is somebody who is really not saved. He knows the jargons. And don't take it that the fact that somebody comes to church, it means the person is saved. And the fact that you have been coming to church, it doesn't mean you are saved. People sleep in a fitting mechanic shop, it doesn't mean they are cars. There are people who probably for a reason or two may sleep in a kitchen, but they are not food. And they are not cooking utensils. Am I preaching something here? Yeah. So, you've got to know the importance of your salvation. When salvation is mentioned, the first word that should come to your mind should be faith. Someone say faith. In Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Say after me, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So your salvation is about your faith. And when we talk about faith, faith is about believing in the gospel. Believing. Someone say believing. Yeah. A saved person is a believer. Say it after me. A saved person is a believer. He has believed in something. Somebody say, me, I believe in this. I believe in that. That means that he has a conviction about something. So to be a Christian means that you have a conviction that Christ Jesus came to die on the cross and that for your sake, and that when you give your life over to him, you will also be saved. So you have faith in him. You have confidence in him. Is that right? You have a conviction. Someone say conviction. So always take note. A saved person is not just a church member. A saved person is a believer. So a true Christian must be a believer. So a saved person must believe in things. Someone say, a saved person must believe in things. Amen. Now, in the early church, it is those who were saved who were added to the church, not members. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts chapter 2, 41 and 47. Let's do that quickly. We are just warming the engine. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that, read it with me, 1, 2. They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So those who received the word, those who received the gospel, they were the ones who were added. Amen. The same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Jump to the verse 47. Yeah, verse 47. This morning I want us to take our time and learn something. Yeah. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord, read it with me, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So those who were saved, those who had believed in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, those who had had a conviction, they were the ones who were added to the church. Added to the church. So those who are added to the church is the called out ones. Those who have given their life to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the Lord adds to the church such kind of people. So you can be coming to church and write your name. The fact that you have written your name on the church's, you know, list, fill the form, doesn't make you a legitimate member of the true body of Christ. You may belong to Googleback International Ministry. The pastor knows you. You have been paying tithes. You can be doing wonderful things, giving alms, but heaven does not recognize you because you have not given your heart to Jesus. You have not had a changed life. The life of Christ is not in you. You can keep visiting a friend in their house, eat their food, but you are not a family member. You become a family member if you were born into the family or you have been adopted by the family. Amen. You see, many people call themselves Christians something, and we have filled our churches with members, with people who don't understand even their faith, and they don't have any conviction. Can I have an amen? They don't have any conviction. He said, I'm a Pentecost. I belong to this church. I belong to this. I belong to that. We hardly hear people calling themselves believers. From today, call yourself, I am a believer. And to be a believer means you must have what? Convictions. Somebody say convictions. Yeah. Now, when you say you're a believer, many things will try to fight you, stop you from, you know, serving God. Your friends, even your family members, your parents, some of them will try to call you names, but you must be you must have a conviction. Amen. Conviction is what tells you that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Eh? When you give your life to Jesus, you see, you become, Paul says, I am a bond servant, I am a slave. A slave doesn't own himself and doesn't own anything he has. Whatever he has still belongs to the master. So when you give your life to Jesus, you are a servant of God. You are a born slave to the Lord. And you cannot live your life anywhere, anyhow. If you look at our friends, the traditionalists, those who say they are fetish priests and things, they don't wear slippers. Some of them, by whichever God they are serving, they don't wear slippers. They have a conviction. The ladies don't wear kaba tops. They just put a cloth on their whatever. They even have a certain decency of dressing to please their God. So if you claim you are a Christian, then there should be a certain decency of relationship and behavior with God. Such that you cannot dress anywhere, anyhow. Christian sister, you cannot dress with half your breast exposed and a push-up with oil on top of it for brothers to look at it and they are salivating. And as you are walking around, we don't know whether you are a Christian or not. Unbelievers are looking at you and say, are you judging? I'm not judging you. I am preaching the word of God. A Christian must be a Christian. When they see, when we're growing up, they used to call it SU, Krife. And Krife, you see that the real Krife girls and the real Christian brothers, you will see that they have a certain lifestyle. There's a certain scent. There's a certain smell. There's a certain behavior. You know that, this person has really changed. Amen. It's a different person. You must have conviction. You see, a church member, ordinary church girl who sees a guy with maybe, you know, he puts a phone here and has put $5,000 here and things and say, I want to sleep with you, I'll give you this and all those things. And you are in difficulty. You take the nice phone, Z Fold phone, latest iPhone plus $5,000. And maybe some holidays to London, or Dubai, or Paris, and come back. You will come and say, hallelujah, the Lord has blessed me. But you are going to sleep around. You lack conviction. So a Christian must have conviction to say, no! My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to partake of this. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to add zeros to the figures. I am not going to do... Somebody has ever come to my office before. He said, I'm going to do this business and I need for you to pray, you know, for me and the kind of car you use, you should be able to use a much better car and all those kind of things. And coaxing me, and I got to know that the guy was in drugs. And I said, leave my office. I don't pray for drugs. Drug peddlers. I pray for the salvation of souls. And people have real issues to be helped by God. And not for people to be swindlers and misbehaving. You must know the purpose of your anointing. But if you don't have conviction, anyone wants it. Who doesn't like nice cars? Who doesn't like nice cars and nice things? In my language, who doesn't like snails? Nice things. Joseph was convicted about his relationship with God. So when Mrs. Potiphar went and said, boy, I like you. I like your muscles. My husband's own has become flabby. Your own is nice. Look at your six-pack. My husband's own is like a pillow. The stomach. And things like that. So, I like your six-pack. I will session you. I'll do you good. You know, your food will be special. I'll give you money as well. I need for you to sleep with me. He said, I cannot sin against my God. He was not afraid that he may be caught. You see, many of us, we don't do the wrong things because we are afraid to be caught. But not that he was afraid to be caught. He had a conviction that he cannot sin against his God and his master who has entrusted his household unto him. Conviction. Someone say conviction. Oh, you are not saying it. You don't like my preaching. Amen. So being a church member doesn't give you conviction to stop sinning. Because many church people do a lot of abominable things. You must be a Christian. Someone say a Christian. Yeah.
Are you here with me?
As a pastor, sometimes people give me things. So I want to support you. When they give, you are not there. Yes, you are not there. But my conviction says that the person is giving this for the church. So I give it to the church. And even some of the things that they said, no, it's for you. I look at the needs of the church. I say, let us rather put the church so that the church will push on. Yes. We'll get on. It's a conviction. Amen. If you are a leader without conviction, you'll be sleeping around with girls. You see, when if you are not careful, the little power, the little money you have, you begin to misuse it. That's why we see many, many elderly people with, they get money, they get power. These days, for young girls to get a job, the bosses want to sleep with them first. And Sunday mornings, they are in their churches. And if you are hearing me, and you are a boss, and Sunday morning, you are in a church, and some of them, they can be church elders, church whatever, sitting in front, the pastors know them. And yet, from Monday to Saturday, it's a different lifestyle. There's a judgment day coming. There's a day of reckoning coming. That the people who are vulnerable that you have to help, you are taking advantage of them. Am I preaching something to you? Hallelujah. So a Christian, yeah, if you are not careful, you don't have conviction. This sister has real need. He comes and she's there and comes around. You are a cell leader. Brother, I've come to see you. Yes, bring me. I have this need. Come, brother, come. He said, no, and the sister is coming. And then as she's talking, brother, hallelujah. Brother, hallelujah. You see, my boyfriend has done it. All my this has happened. And all those things. And then all of a sudden, she's telling her, hold you like this. Bro, piercing you with her breast. And you have feelings. Yeah, you have feelings. But conviction will tell you that no, you are not the one to soothe her up with your flesh. Yes. Conviction will tell you that take a tissue, give it to her. And push backwards. Are you here with me? Conviction will tell you that no. I tell people, I don't try to meet people in my office, strange people, just there, single woman, and come and be in my office. Huh? How about if something comes and you decide to jump? Yeah. Bible says there should not be any appearance of evil. Are you here with me? There should not be what? Any appearance. Appearance. Not that you are doing something bad though, but what is going on? It appears. Appears evil. You have gone to hide some corner there with some sister. Every time. Maybe you are even exalting the person. But what is the perception of people? Am I preaching here to you? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. So, we want to look at the foundations. Amen? A Christian, I said, is first of all a believer. I tell you, a Christian is first of all a believer. So, what does he, if he's a believer, he must believe in things. So, what does he believe in? There are five things he believes in, which we are going to talk about quickly. Number one, he believes in God. Some say, he believes in God. Any Christian who doesn't believe in God, you see, properly, then the person has a problem. He believes in God Almighty. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. So the beginning of your faith must be who? God. Genesis 1:26, Bible says that, and God created man in his own image and likeness. So you were created in God's image. So you must have faith in the fact that you didn't just erupt to come into the world. Can I have an amen? Don't believe in those Darwinian theories. You are just there and then you evolve from an ape. And you are not an ape. Eh? Yeah. You didn't come from a Neanderthal man. Yes. Or an Australopithecus or whatever. I've forgotten that. Those words. Yes, it's a word. Yeah. I studied this in almost some 40 years ago, so I have to revise my notes. Hallelujah. Australopithecus. Yes. In Genesis 3:15, when man fell, then God decided, God said that the seed of the woman shall bruise her head, that shall bruise his heel. So it means that God started a redemptive plan for us. Are you getting me? It's God who started it. So you must believe in God. Tell somebody, believe in God. Slap your friend and say, believe in God. Pinch your friend and say, believe in God. Amen. Because God is the source of your life. So he's a source of our salvation. He created us. Number two, you must believe in Jesus Christ. That's what they believe in Jesus Christ. Are you people writing something? You must have a conviction so that when you go somewhere and you are talking, and then you know that, say, I am a Christian. And they say, why are you a Christian? Because I believe in God. I don't believe in trees. Christians don't believe in trees. Pouring libation to trees. Pouring libation to stones. Pouring libation to animals. We believe in God. Number two, we believe in who? Jesus Christ. We believe in who? Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Acts 16:31. Oh, Jesus. He said, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So for you to be saved, what do you need? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not recite any kind of things. Not even doing good. Because Bible says our good works are like filthy rags before the Lord. Amen. So what will bring salvation to you is believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do you believe something? You believe something when you have heard of something. So when you believe something, it means that you are convicted. You know that you know. That's the meaning of believe. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it says that with the mouth, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. So how do you get saved? You get saved by what? Confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. For with the heart we believe unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the heart must believe. Your heart must believe something. And your heart only believes when you have received an information and a conviction. Can I have an amen? There must be a conviction in your heart. As a man is, you declare what you say. Is that not it? You declare what you believe in. Out of the abundance of the heart, the man speaketh. So you realize that by your faith, you speak. So most of us, you realize that you don't talk about Jesus much because you don't believe in him much. Because if you believe in Jesus Christ, you'll be talking. In fact, when I was in school, my friends used to call, the Bible says, and I'm preaching, every time, Bible says. You must believe in your heart. So the place of incubation of faith, where faith is the heart. Someone say the heart. Yeah. With the heart we believe, and with the mouth confession is made. So a Christian is somebody, listen to me, a Christian is not somebody who just comes to church, who is part of a group, a department, but somebody who has believed in Jesus Christ and has said something. So you must believe and say. If you have not said Christ and asked Jesus to come into your heart, you are not saved. There's a procedure, and let me prove it to you. You see, when Jesus asks the disciple, who do men say that I am? He says, some say you are John the Baptist, some say you are Jeremiah. Then he says that, he said, who do men say? What's the opinion of men? Then he asked him the question, and they said, some say, that means that the opinion of people are this. Then he said, but what do you say? Who do you say that I am? Oh, you should have put the scripture there. Ask him, run, go along with me. who do you say that I am? Then he said that what? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father. And upon this rock I will build my church. When he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, he was not talking about building the church on Peter, but building the church on the principle that the God the Father must reveal the Son to a person by means of the Holy Spirit, and you must open, you must believe it and declare it. It is your believing and declaring that now makes you become a believer. So if you are in church and there's never been a day or time where you believed and asked Jesus to come into your heart, you are not saved yet. Hello? You can be giving your tithes, you can be sweeping around. If you have not believed and changed, you have not believed, and anytime you believe, you change. And that's why I keep telling you, the day I believed and I got changed. I used to be an altar boy. I actually went to the seminary. I tried to become a priest. I tried to become a Catholic priest and all those kind of things, you know. But on the 27th of July, 1977, 5:30 in the evening, South Awudome Estate, close to New Times Corporation, my junior brother and another person were there, and they preached Christ to me, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I remember very well. From that day, I became a believer. Amen. I became a believer. And my uncle that I live with, he used to, every evening, he would say, club. He would buy a club and sit there and cough and leave some. And then me, I'm the one, he liked me, and I'm the one who goes to serve, and I'm the one who goes to collect. So the debris, the under, the me to pour some in my mouth. So you see, I was going to church, okay, and things, and altar boys serving, like many of us come to church and we do things, yet I was quaffing some. Yeah. My people have sold, my auntie I live with has sold palm wine, and I was a calabash cleaner and everything. And you, when they are serving the palm wine, they add fried octopus, and then they cut onions and pepper and things, and so they are chewing and they are there. And when they leave some, me too, I drink some. Yeah. But when I gave my life to Christ, I said, I'm finished with you. I'm finished with you. I'm finished with you. I'm finished with you. A conviction. Can I have an amen? Are you here with me? So you must have a conviction. Tell somebody, have a conviction. Amen. And so you must, number one, the first pillar to be saved is what? Believe in who? God. That's what, I'm a believer in God. Number two, you must believe in who? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah. And in John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, he says, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, as many as received him, he gave them what? The power to become the sons of God, even to them that what? Believe on his name. So say believe. Yeah, believe. So say believe. So you see that believe is here again. Yeah, believe on his name. Oh, hallelujah. You know, John 3:16. Continue. For that whosoever
believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen. Watch it. God so loved the world that he gave his only what? Begotten son, so that whoever what? Believes in him. You must believe in him. Should not perish. It means that if you don't believe in him, you will perish. And believing in him means what? Being convicted of what he's done for you and surrendering your heart to him, turning your back. You see, this born again business is called a transformation of 180 degrees. An equation of y is equal to x. In an equation of y is equal to x, if you are going in this direction, that means that you are turning the other way around. Transformation 180 degrees. You are going this way and you turn the other way. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The places I used to go, I go there no more. The films I used to watch, I watch them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The smoochie I used to do, I smooch no more. The drinking I do, I drink no more. The 419 I used to do, I do them no more. You can come to church, do 419, do Yahoo business, do all kinds of things. Do my friend, and you say you are a member of the church, but you are not a, you are a member of that organization, but you are not a true member of the body of Christ. You are not a believer yet. You must change. You don't like my preaching. I didn't come to preach for you to like it. I am preaching what God has put in my mouth. Amen. If all Christians were really convicted and lived according to Christ, our nation would be a different nation. Yes. Because you are going to be a big man. You are going to become a big man. And you must be a big man with a conviction so that you do things right. Hallelujah. Number three. Oh, Jesus. Am I preaching here? Yeah. In fact, in John 5:24, under Jesus Christ, quickly. Verily I say unto you, he that hears my word and what believes on him. Have you seen another believe? Yeah, I'm giving you scriptures to prove what I'm preaching. Believes on him that sent me has what? Everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So you are not now going to get everlasting life. The moment you gave your life to Jesus, you have everlasting life. What we call Zoe, God's own kind of life. That means that God's life has been now transposed over you. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah. When you put one plant on another, what's the name? Yeah. God's life has been grafted onto your life. So that, and when there's a grafting, there's something called the stalk and the scion. Is that right? Good. The stalk is there and the scion. The kind of fruit you want, maybe you want early yielding, disease resistant kind of, you know, of crop of a particular plant. So you put that one on top of the stalk. And so the new plant, that the fruit that is be yielding, is the one that you place on top of it. So when Christ is placed on top of your life, you yield the life of Christ. Hallelujah. So the reason why we are not really yielding the life of Christ and we claim we are Christians and things is because of the fact that we have not really believed. So a believer believes in Jesus. Someone say, he believes in Jesus. Yeah, believes in Jesus. Number three, he believes in the Holy Spirit and his contribution to our faith. A believer believes in what? A Christian believes in what? The Holy Spirit. Someone say Holy Spirit. And his contribution to our faith. His contribution to our faith. So you must have faith in the Holy Spirit and his contribution to your life. John 16:8. Are you in the church? Are you learning something? This morning, it's not a shouting to. I want you to understand Christian principles. Someone say principles. John 16:8. Quickly. And when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The first thing the Holy Spirit does is what? He reproves the world of what? Sin. The Bible says, for all have what? Sin. So if all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, then it means that for you to walk in the glory of God, then you must change from that. And it is the Holy Spirit that reproves you. Do it another version, New King James, or another version, New Living Translation, the word reprove. And when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will convict the world of what? Sin. He will convict. Someone say, convict. Those of you outside, listen to the word of God. Listen. Those outside, listen to the word. He will what? Convict. Someone say convict. The word convict means to expose, to, or reprove. Is that right? Expose. So it means that the Holy Spirit exposes the sin you are doing to you. Is that right? Now, in the secular court system, a conviction, when we say someone has received a conviction, is the act or a process of finding a person guilty. So when we say somebody has been convicted of something, it means that they have gone through a certain process and found the person guilty of an offense. Is that right? So the judge plus the prosecutor makes a case, there are witnesses, the judge looks at the thing vis-a-vis the law and everything and says that you are guilty. So the Holy Spirit is the one who actually makes us, you see, some people say, I'm not guilty. I did this, I'm not guilty. Is that right? But when you go to the law court, there's a process that tries to reveal the fact that you are guilty. And to, for you to accept it and for you to be taken to prison or get a fine, is the Holy Spirit who convicts you and brings you to a place for you to accept your fault, to accept your limitation, because for all that you are doing, you are blind to it, that it is not bad. Are you here with me? So it's the Holy Spirit who does what? Who convicts us of our sins. So it means that if you are there and you don't have the Holy Spirit, you see, so when you get born again and you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be living as an unbeliever. Because the wrong things you are doing, you don't seem to see anything wrong. So you'll be a believer and you'll be still sleeping around. That's why you see a Christian brother and sister, and they are staying in the same room, same house, and they are living as husband and wife. Meanwhile, you are not husband and wife. But you see, for some, they have not received the conviction that it is bad. So it is business as usual. They have not seen the fact that I'm collecting bribe or I'm doing this bad thing. They don't seem to see it. You see, there's a story of a certain guy. He got born again. He gave his life to Jesus. He was crying and everything. But he was a sex worker outside the country. He goes to make love. You see, this was a porn guy. So he sleeps with women. He's paid. That was the work he was doing. Meanwhile, he was born again. Yeah. So one day, I hear with me. So one day, the Holy Spirit convicted him of the acts that he was involved in. So the Holy Spirit convicted him. I want to just show you the scriptures. So he read of certain scriptures, like 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 to 20, and Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Let's look at it. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts you and get to know that, oh no, not knowing this thing that I'm doing, it's a bad thing. Is that right? Yeah. It's a bad thing to insult adults. It's a bad thing to disrespect my parents. It's a bad thing. So it's the Holy Spirit that convicted him, you know, that showed to him that, Charlie, the thing you are doing, it is bad. So without the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit convicting you, you claim you are a Christian, you can even be speaking in tongues and be shouting and yet be doing the wrong things. Am I helping you? That's the reason why you say, but this person goes to church. This person does this and that. The person is even close to a pastor. The person is doing this and that, but he's drinking. He does this. The person is today because his conscience is seared. He has not had a true relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's not open to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit actually opens you up for you to be able to see that this thing that you are doing is wrong. So the Holy Spirit is like a teacher. You see, when a teacher picks your script, he's able to let you know that this thing is wrong. Won't go to school and then to the back and then say, do correction. So the Holy Spirit is the one who tells you, do correction. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. Let's read together. 1, 2. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Have you seen it? Your members, your eyes, your body, your breasts, your thighs, your buttocks, all the part of your, they are what? Members of Christ. Verse 16. What? Know you not that he who is joined to a harlot is one body? When you sleep with somebody, you become one with the person. Be careful of who you sleep with. The moment you sleep with a person, to the spirit over the person who controls you. There was a person who didn't have asthma in the family. When she slept with somebody with the asthma, she got asthma. So don't take sex as just sexual pleasure. 5 minutes of pleasure is 5 minutes of deep spiritual intercourse. Deep spiritual exchanges are taking place. Are you here with me? What? Know you not that he who joins the harlot is one body? For two seeth he shall be what? One flesh. Verse 17. But he that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. Verse 18. Flee. Everybody run to read it. Flee. 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 Did he say resist? Brother, you don't resist though. Things about the flesh, they will conquer you. Paul said, in my flesh, there's nothing good in it. So if you rely on the flesh, you will fall down. Don't say, me, I'm a pastor. Me, I'm a bishop. Me, I am an apostle. Me, I'm a church leader. I will stand there and I did sholobaya. Before you are sure you are sholoya, asholeya, asholeya, asholeya. You are down. When it comes to the sins of the flesh, Bible says for everything, say resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But when it comes to sexual sins, he says flee. Don't even say I'm a married woman. You are a married woman, but it's still your flesh. So a small boy is come around and say, auntie, I think I like you. Auntie, I think you are there. And you are looking at the guy, you are beginning to admire him. And then you can see his muscles. And the guy intentionally now opens his chest a little. And you can see the firmness. And this time, he's, oh yes, many married women sleep with young boys. They do it and go back to their marital homes. And some of them, the moment they get pregnant, no, they go and sleep with their partner quick to cover it. But they are questioning. Well, I'm preaching today. Marriage does not stop sexual sins and sexual weakness. You must deal with it. Amen. Because you may not have time to have sex with your husband or your wife forever, all the time. You may go on trek, you may go on this, you may go on this. Your wife is beautiful, but it doesn't mean other women are ugly. And there are people who can even jump on you, bro. You just entered the room and here is this girl at the university room. Say, hey, PK! P! Yeah, I said, hello, guys. I said, Akos. Yeah, Koko. I said, Akos, are you there? He said, yes, I am here. I said, oh, come in. Come in. There you go. That is where your conviction comes in. Or he grabs you and says that you either do it or I shout. What will you do? Slap her and run away. God will defend you later. Amen. Don't be pushed into sin and into the wrong things. And those of you who are into relationship and things, till you are married, you come to the altar and you are married, you have no business kissing, petting, pulling, and having sex. You are opening the door. You see, you are crumpling and destroying the foundation of your relationship. You are letting termites eat the foundation of your relationship. And when you do that, because you did it a quickie, then the person will not trust you. And when you go and say, oh, this is a quickie sister, a quickie brother, a quickie whatever, the way you remove your pants very quickly, I know as you are standing there, you can also remove very quickly. So there's no trust. That's why now you will come up and then you'll be taking your phones and checking. You don't trust him, he doesn't trust you. I have no time to go and look at anybody's phone, my wife's phone. I've never done in my life. Or even to look into a bag. Is that my bag? It's not my bag. My phone is there. I don't have password on my phone. What is there? What is there to hide? Why do you have password? Plus finger something. Some of you have about three of them. You do like this. Then one with the eye. Then one with the thumbprint. Why? What are you hiding? You are a Christian. Your life must be transparent. Hallelujah. You must be a Christian. You're a Christian. What are you hiding? When the phone bell, turn on, they say, honey, check, somebody's calling me. Check, can you check my mail? Check my messages for me. Check my message. Yeah, and tell the person this and this. They must be open. The Bible says that, and they were both transparent. Bible said they are transparent. I've not read the scripture. It's in Genesis. A husband, a man, and a woman shall come together. The two shall be one flesh. And they were both naked. Naked to themselves. Naked to yourself, but you are not naked in your phone. Shobahakatayaba. Ay, 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 ay. Preaching, you know. Hallelujah. Amen. You need the Holy Spirit. You see, without the Holy Spirit, you can live like a total unbeliever. It is the Holy Spirit that convicted. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body. That means outside of his body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. You are destroying your body. You think you are getting pleasure. Like National Geography. And people are coming. Hey, Jimmy. Foolishness. And after doing that, you see, after doing that, and the person, after you have seen it all, why should he be in a hurry to go and marry you? And when he has seen it all, now you become vulnerable. And that is where he starts slapping you and beating you. And that's where also the girl also starts insulting you. Most relationships where you see sometimes the women don't respect the men is because they were sleeping around. So there's no respect. There was no respect because you are fooling before the marriage. If you fooled, go to her and say, we never fooled, but now it's over. And you open the door for demons also to come unto you. Are you here with me? He said, if you really love me, then we must do it. Are you Asana? Ekudemi or whatever. Are you Ekudemi? And Asana. How about if after the Asana, you are not as tasty as she wants or he wants? Then say, go away. If you. Akakakra. Verse 19. Am I preaching here? You see, it's the Holy Spirit that will help you stop this thing. It's the Holy Spirit that will. And listen, everybody, this will happen to you. I remember, listen to me, as a young pastor, yeah, and then my national service, I was there in my science lab. From nowhere, this girl came into the. I didn't even feel her footsteps. The next moment, the girl was standing in front of me, trying to put her hand in my ears. A little girl, hey! My heart started beating. I just said that, get out! I screamed at her. And then quickly, I ran. I left her in the room. I don't want, flee. Hey, do you know what she has eaten? Do you know what's under her eyes? A girl told me at the university, she told me that, look, he said, me, I can look at two people and make them fornicate. Two people that. And she told me. I ministered to her the first day. I ministered to her. We prayed for over 7 hours. Yes. And he said, I can also look at people who are cutting and things, and then they fight and then they separate. And I enter in there. She told me herself. Because when we're ministering to her, she had a spirit, a certain spirit. She said, some things that emit out of her eyes. So don't joke around. And it's the Holy Spirit that will help you. You see, 2 years was ago, I traveled with Archbishop Adinasa. I went to Abuja, Polenichesh Church, to go and minister. And then we're in a very nice hotel. very posh hotel. And then we have finished the evening meeting, and I went to get something to eat. And whilst I was sitting there, then this girl comes around and said, "Sir, I can do you massage." Hey! The moment she said, "I can do you," I just knew, what kind of massage? "I can do you massage. I have massage." The way she came in, she was so bold. Massage. Straight away, I shouted, "No!" In fact, I screamed at her, "No!" And then I quickly picked my things. And then I took a phone and I called mommy. I said, "Mommy, look at some silly girl. Look at what she's telling me." And they were laughing at me. I said, "Share or share." I was trying to what, protect myself and even become accountable to my wife that this demon is out to try to fight me whilst I've gone there to work the works of God and to receive more unction and to minister with the man of God. Look at what is happening. Are you listening to me, somebody?
Yes.
And I went there as an apostle. But that girl was not afraid of the apostle. When it comes to the work of the flesh, he will floor you if you don't have conviction. That's why I'm telling you that one of the pillars, I want to help you, one of the pillars of your salvation. So for you to be saved, you must have faith in God, and number two, faith in Jesus Christ, and faith in the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, without the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you do all the wrong things. There are Christians who go to a clubs Friday, thank God, they are looking forward to Friday night to go to all kinds of things. There are Christians who pick call girls by the roadside because some of the girls, they have things under their eyes. And when they go and then you see that their skirt is going there, you are a guy and men are moved by what they see. Are you here with me? And now there's money, there's quietness. Maybe you've gone through a very difficult week and all those kind of things. And here this girl comes and says, "Hey." And then you are seeing things. And something is going on in your mind. Should I stop or should I stop? Or should I this or should I? Then you look into your mirror. Then you look this and this and that. Careful. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, is telling you something. Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, who is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You are not your own. Tell somebody, you are not your own. Amen. Verse 20. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. So the thing you are doing, is it glorifying God? From today, nobody should take their beloved into a private room alone. No private cinemas. Those of you who take girls to private cinemas and you are watching all kinds of, yeah, let's go to private cinemas. Movie houses. You and the girl, you are there. You and the boy, you are there. What are you doing there alone? Movies must be watched with a lot of people together. In a decent environment, but you are there. And the thing you are watching, it is stirring something in you. Today the preaching is not nice, right? It's nice. Amen. Romans 6:13, quickly. And then we'll get in there. Romans 6:13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto who? God. Tell your friend, yield yourself unto God. As those that are alive from where? From the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You see, without the Holy Spirit, you will spend your tithes. Some of you have been chopping tithes. Because you see, the Holy Spirit will prompt you that the money some of you even pledge monies. You pledge 500 CDs and you come and pay 100. But the Holy Spirit will be prompting you. So when they say, who are those giving 500? I was going to say, when you go and sit down, me come off 100. Yeah. Then the Holy Spirit will be prompting you. You are owing. Yeah. Then after some, your conscience becomes seared. And you don't go and give it. The Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit who helps you. Eh? If you have something to do, you won't have peace. If the Holy Spirit is in you. Is that right? And sometimes when you're even thinking bad, something bad or something, the Holy Spirit makes you feel bad about it. Or if you're even insulted, you see, if you are there and you are doing the bad things and you don't feel anything bad about it, then it means that the Holy Spirit has left you. Are you here with me? If you are there and you are doing bad things, like you have the gift of insulting, that you can insult, insult adults, insult your pastor, insult your leaders, insult, slap. You are there, you can slap your father, slap your mother, and things. And you don't feel bad. And people even tell you that this thing you did was bad. And you are still not convicted about it. And say, if she does it, I will slap her again. If my pastor misbehaves, I will insult him. No. Listen to me. Anybody who insults your pastor and your leader, what's happening is that the devil is setting you up for destruction. Big time. You have people to say that you have a case. They didn't treat you well. Whatever. You don't have a case. I'll prove it from the word of God. I'm preaching. Don't be in a hurry to go home. Today, Baba will be here. Amen. If you have the Holy Spirit, you don't have peace. Is that right? If you have the Holy Spirit and you are going to do something bad, listen, I'm telling you, the devil, especially when it comes to the flesh, Pastor Ben, win the Holy Spirit too. The very first night I married my wife, customarily, we married. We're just in the marriage. Somebody was also married to my wife's relation, close relation, same family. The guy was there as a banker. After that, same day, we have not gone to sleep. I have not gone to change my dress. From the family house there, I was there after this. He said, let's go and chase girls. I said, do you know who you are talking to? Are you mad? But you see, he was tempting me. He thought that I was an ordinary person. So without the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you go and mess around and come. And it's like you have eaten palm nut soup and you have pasted with Colgate and put Listerine mouthwash, wash your mouth and say, hello honey. How could deep burning? That Ben Quine is in your stomach. That's what I'm talking about, conviction. Pray that Holy Spirit, every day pray, Holy Spirit, convict me. Help me. And you see, when you go and do the wrong things to those people, they go outside and say it. One day in Germany, one lady, they got her and said, suffer away. Also, that suffer also, machine and coin. Machine and coin, another. Where is the pastor? Give him some soup, he's asleep. Why should a lady, somebody go outside and say, machine and coin, I've given some soup, he's asleep. What and coin? Why should they even have the legitimacy to say that about you? May the Lord help us. Are you here with me? Now let me show you something. Without the Holy Spirit, you destroy yourself. Tell your friend, without the Holy Spirit, you destroy yourself. Why? Because you need the Holy Spirit to safeguard you from sin, to give you a clear conscience, to walk righteously. Now, the best way to liken the absence of the Holy Spirit. You see, when you don't have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is important for your salvation. Remember that Jesus told Peter, flesh and blood, for your salvation, flesh and blood has not revealed to you, but my Father. And upon this rock, and I'll build my church. And I said the rock is that God the Father must reveal the Son, Jesus, to you by means of the Holy Spirit. So the Trinity is involved. That's why I said, for you to be saved, you need what? God, you need who? Jesus Christ, and you need who? The Holy Spirit. Are you following me? Good. So without the Holy Spirit, you may have done a confession, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, but you will be misbehaving. And the best way to liken the absence of the Holy Spirit is to liken it to a person having a certain disease called diabetes. Some will say diabetes. Now, people suffering from diabetes have a lot of symptoms and challenges, but one of the major challenges is the loss of sensation. They lose what? Sensation. And it means that their nerves are dead in certain parts. And so if the nerves in their foot is dead, they can be hitting their leg against something and they will not feel the pain. So there is something in their body that does not make them feel the pain. But unfortunately, that same thing also does not help the wound they get to get healed. So, what makes you sense pain for you to be careful, is that right? It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. So the absence of the Holy Spirit will let you begin to do things. Go and sleep with people's wives, steal money, act foolishly in church, do things contrary to the word of God, and you have no pain, there is no sensation, your mind is just gone bonkers. Is that right? There's no conviction. That's why I say the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us. So if you're a Christian and nothing convicts you, see, like when you come to church, eh? The word must convict you. Is that right? Yeah. Sometimes they say, oh, and someone will preach against me. No. It's the Holy Spirit who is convicting you of something. That there's something in your life that you must change. But you are rather angry about the Holy Spirit convicting you. And you are attacking the servant of God. Are you here with me? And because you have lost the sensitivity, you develop the wound. And when you get dropped the wound, there's the same thing that is making you lose the sensitivity is the same thing that will not let the wound be healed. So it means that the absence of the Holy Spirit in you will let you be hurting yourself spiritually and physically, and you will not be healed. Am I preaching here? That is why the presence, pray that you have the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit on you. The Spirit that is on you is what influences you. So when the Holy Spirit is on you, he influences you to do the right things. And when you have another foul spirit on you, he influences you to do the wrong thing. That's why Isaiah 11:2 says that the Spirit of the Lord rests upon you. The Spirit of what? The Spirit of what? Wisdom. To know what to do. The Spirit of understanding how things work. The Spirit of knowledge, advice, information from on high. The Spirit of counsel, advice from on high. You know, the spirit of mind, strength to do what you have to do, and the spirit of, you know, the fear of the Lord. Is that right? The spirit of what? The fear of the Lord. Reverence for God. So your reverence for God, when the Spirit of God is upon you, you have reverence for God. Reverence for God means that you now come to church on time. Reverence for God means that when you come to church, you don't chew gum, because you don't chew gum before Otumfuo. If there are things that you not do before your boss and things, then you cannot do it in church. And reverence for God means that there are some dresses you should not dress. You didn't say amen. You are not happy about that. Amen. Hallelujah. I used to dress in a particular way. You see, the Holy Spirit, that he convicts. I used to dress in a particular way. I was born again. I got born again by the grace of God very early. But when I got to Form 3, I remember one day I was lying there, and then some of the juniors started saying, this senior, his SU is not like the other one, Chinchinai. Then the Holy Spirit convicted me that there must be something wrong with you. And those days, when you say praise the Lord, I say good morning. I was born again, I was speaking in tongues. I was saying good morning. And my dressing, my trousers was on my chest. Yeah. And with a big shirt. You know, and then I used to wear high shade like a weed smoker. And then with my bangles. And you know, when you get to secondary school Form 3, those days when you get to form three, you know, you are when you're senior, papa, who's when you're junior, so you are in between there. So that is when your gaiocious thing comes. So you see my walking, you know, the way I say the gaiocious thing, you're walking and all those, but I was a Christian and very gaiocious. But the Holy Spirit convicted me, and I stopped doing all those things. I removed all those high shades that makes me look like a weed smoker. Eh? And the cool high I was wearing, and all those, started dressing decently. And I remember that Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit that saved me. We went for a jamboree, and then when we were there, I went to a boys' school, typical boys' school. So when we go out and we meet the girls, say, oh, the girls who like boys. So when they also see the boys, they are very happy. And my school too was a very nice, prestigious school. You know, that the bees were all there, all over the place. So when we were there, then they were dancing. Then they were dancing, they were dancing and dancing. People were dancing. Hey! Then, all of a sudden, this girl gave me a deal like this. Hey! And then you see that initially they were dancing hot songs. Then they were ta na 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 ta na 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 na. You know how to sing it? Killing me softly with this love. Na 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 with this love. Killing me softly. Then I could see the guys were like ta na 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 na. This was the way they were going. Na 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 na. Charlie, hack tight. And they were tapping at people's buttocks. They were tapping there. No, 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 no. You are acting like you don't know. You do it. There was a tapping. And then the girl came to me like this. SU boy who had gone there. You see, there are places you have to be careful not to go. SU boy. Then she did me like this. Then I wasn't too sure because somebody else was sitting. So I said, me? Because when I go there and she touches me, I'll never be normal. And I didn't want to be abnormal. So it's like, then somebody will be pushing, you know. When they push me, I resist. Charlie, later I had to run away. I had to run away. Flee. The conviction of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you, don't go and sit in that car. Are you here with me? There was a time I traveled. Apostle General asked me to go and do a meeting for him in Kumasi. And I was to come for a function Saturday. I finished a program Saturday. You know, I wasn't driving. I got into a public car. And this car was a smaller car, which was going to get a lot, you know, filled up. So I got in and the Holy Spirit said, get out. So the person I was going to, I said, let's get out. I said, oh, but the thing, I said, look, let's go. The moment we got out, went to sit in a bigger bus. On the way, we saw that this car that I initially went and sat in had a very serious accident. It was the Holy Spirit who delivered us from that. Sometimes the Holy Spirit also will convict you to pray about some things. You'll be there and you feel a strong something. Pray about this. Pray for your child. Pray for your son. Pray for. I've had that. My father would have died before the time he died. Yeah. Yeah. Around 83, I was there at Abitifi. And the Spirit of God convicted me, said, pray for your daddy. And I was a very cool guy. Praying. And for that day, they saw the aggressiveness of praying and rolling on the floor and praying. No, that time was somebody was trying to murder him. He said he was walking a dark alley, and then this guy took a dagger and lifted the dagger like this. And he said something just told him, turn your back and lift your hand. He held the guy's hand, and then he overpowered the person. So, my dear friend, you need the Holy Spirit. Pray before you step out. You say, Holy Spirit, lead me, direct me. That's why it says, see, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Rebuke me. Instruct me. Direct me. Help me. Can I have an amen? Quickly, number four, faith in the word of God. We are finishing right now. So we say faith in the word of God. Eh? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. The word of God is quick and powerful. It's living and powerful. Amen. So when you read the word of God, life comes to you. Amen. The word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than what? Any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why when the word of God is being preached, it enters your heart. It talks about what is going on in your life. So every time you are hearing the word of God ministers to you. It ministers to you emotionally. Sometimes you are emotionally low, and the word of God ministers to you. The word of God ministers to your body. Sometimes, as you are there, one day I was preaching in an ICCC church, and then somebody said, as we were preaching, I felt the power of God come all the way from the front and hit my knee. Bam! He had a knee condition for 20 years. He said, immediately the thing left, he started running around. Yeah. Somebody had a stroke. I remember Legon, cafeteria. I was on the front. The person was far back there. The person had a stroke. They didn't even bring the person up front. They put the person at the back there. Just come and listen to the word of God and go. But the power of God hit her from the back there, and she started walking around without hands being laid on her. The word of God is quick and powerful. That's why through the preaching of the word of God, change happens to us. Listen to me. If you want people to change, it's not advice. It's the word. That's why Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God. Some say, it's the power of God. So it's the word of God that makes God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit visible and practical to you. In Psalm 119, verse 105, Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light for my what? Path. The word of God is light. May the word of God be a lamp unto your feet. See, and lamp onto your feet means that your legs are not going to hit against things. You see, light does not take away pain. It rather shows you obstructions in the way. So when you don't live by the word of God, you go and hit your leg against things, and it will create pain to you. Can I have an amen? Anyone who puts away the word of God has disconnected himself from God. Every day you must read the Bible. Tell somebody to read your Bible every day. If you want to grow... If you want to grow, hallelujah, read your Bible, pray every on day. Sundays, pray every once in a month, pray on Tuesday, read your Bible, pray every day. If you want to grow, you eat every day, your spirit man must also eat. And you see, there's something about the word of God. Thank God for preaching and all kinds of things. But when you take your Bible and you read it, then you will see some nourishment. You will see there's something. You see, it's a wonderful thing when you are talking to a lot of people and then one-on-one. So reading your Bible is you and God one-on-one. And everybody, you must develop that habit. Bible reading. Someone say, Bible reading. That's why when you are going to SU, every time your SU leader, you meet someone and say, what was your quiet time? What did you read? And we must institute it in Christendom today. You see, our churches have become fetish houses. I'm a pastor, but I'm telling you, people just come to our churches just to let me get some bread to you, a husband, a wife, children. I want money. If the pastor can pray for me to get more money, you will die with your money and go one day. You will die. I've seen people with plenty of money, they died, they left with their houses. I was at a funeral. While they were conducting a man's funeral, his houseboy was driving his Mercedes Benz with other girls inside the car, chilling, even when they had not buried the man. Once in the church room, I saw it with my two naked eyes. Don't think you are going to die for people to cry forever. So you better straighten out your life. Hallelujah. Number five, and the last one. Your faith in your pastor and your church. You must have your fifth pillar is what? You must have what? Faith in your pastor and your church. Say, faith in my pastor and my church. So, listen to my friend. There's nothing like salvation without faith in God, number one. Without faith in Jesus Christ. Without faith in the Holy Spirit. And without faith in the word of God. Are you here with me? So, these are pillars. Someone say pillars. If you look at the back, they are pillars. The pillars hold the building. So the fifth pillar that will help you to solidify your Christian life is your faith in your pastor and in your church. So your church and pastor. So faith in my pastor and my church. Amen. Let's quickly look at the first aspect on the church. Psalm 68 verse 6. Psalm 68 verse 6. Quickly. You must have faith in your church. Psalm 68. God sets the solitary in what? Families. He brings out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Another version, New Living Translation. Some versions say God God places the lonely in families. Amen. And he sets the prisoners free and gives them what? Joy. So when you become another version, when you become born again, God settles you. The ESV says that God settles you in family. Is that right? So everybody, God created us. If you study a little bit of science, there's kingdom, there's phylum, there's class, there's the family and all those things, there's species and things like that. Right? Good. Now, God, in his wisdom, doesn't let anybody come into the world in isolation. You are placed in a family. And Bible says God settles the solitary in a home. That home of family is the church. Are you here with me? That home of family is the church. Can I have an amen? Yeah. So the church is a home. You see, God settles the solitary in a home. Is that not it? So the church is a home. Say, the church is a home. Amen. And in every home, there's a father and there's a mother. And there are regulations over there. There's a way of doing things. And he said he leads out the prisoners to prosperity. You see, you are born into a family so that you walk in a certain kind of blessing and prosperity. Because can you imagine a child is born and the child is, you know, on the rubbish dump or wherever. How are you going to survive? But when you are taken to a home, you are taken care of well. There's a good bed to sleep on. There's a warm atmosphere and things like that. So God puts you in a family so that you get into a warm atmosphere and you are catered for. I didn't have an amen. Now, we have two types of families. We have what we call the earthly or the biological family and then the spiritual or the heavenly family. Right? So there's a biological family. God doesn't say you should divorce yourself from your biological family. So the biological family is your earthly family that you came through. Then you are also a spiritual family. Is that right? Or the heavenly family. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 15, the Bible talks about Ephesians 3:15 quickly. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Have you seen? There's a family in heaven and earth. So the heavenly family is talking about what? Your spiritual family. And then there's what? The earthly family. Are you learning something? Amen. Now, as a Christian, you must have faith and great regard for the church as your spiritual family. So if you are in this church, this is your family. Your family is not the people from your hometown, that your community. This is your family. You have and when you are in a family, you have a responsibility towards the family. And you don't divorce yourself from your family. You are in the family for life. Swevi Amegayi. Jifa, the Amegayi blood is in you. No, be so. From where? Better. Kliko. From Kliko. Are you getting me? Yeah. Since you came to Accra, have you divorced yourself from Kliko? Have you said you are no more an Amegayi? You are Amegayi. Are you getting me? You are an Amegayi. You are part of the family and all those things. There are times you may not even be happy with family members. I'm sure sometimes they don't even look for you. But you are rather looking that you will prosper so that you will go and make Amegayi family great. The name Amegayi great. Is that not it? Yeah, so you are. Thank you, madam. You are looking beautiful. Amen. Are you here with me? So part of your salvation includes the church. That's what part of your salvation includes the church. So once you enter the kingdom, you must know that you are part of a spiritual family. And we become part of the family through the cross. Now the cross has a vertical beam. Can you show it? You see the cross on the stage there? There's a vertical beam and a horizontal beam. Vertical beam is a up, you know, and down. Horizontal means across. Now, the vertical beam is talking about you and the relationship with God. And then the horizontal beam is talking about you and your relationship with others. But you and your relationship, it is the vertical beam that holds the horizontal beam in place. So it means that without your relationship with God, you and your relationship with others will not work. So for you to be a strong church, a believer, a strong believer, and a believer, a good church member, you must have a good relationship with God. Once you have a good relationship with God, it helps you to have good relationship with your other believers. Can I have an amen? Yeah. And Bible says, so when you come to church, God gives you fathers and mothers. When you come into the kingdom, Jesus said, you know, in Mark 10, 28 to 30, Peter said, we've left all to follow you. And Jesus said, no one who leaves father or mother, brother or sister for my sake, that will not be blessed on earth, but will receive fathers, mothers, brothers, and sisters. So in the church, you receive spiritual parents. Amen. In this church, by the grace of God, I am your father. Amen. Yes. Mommy is your mother. Amen. And there may be other, you know, people too, that if he's your group leader, in the group, he's your group father. Are you getting me? He's your group mother. Someone like Lady Pastor Zoe, you know, in the department, is a group mother. Yes. I hope you're getting me. Yeah. And you must honor all these people that God has put in your life. You must honor them. That's why in a particular church, the priest there is called Reverend Father. He's a father of the people. Amen. It means that he must be honored, he must be respected. The Bible says in Malachi 1:6, he said, if I'm your father, where is my honor? If I'm your master, where is my honor? So mothers and fathers, you know, someone like Auntie Rose, I mean, I see her as a mother. So in the choir, you must take as a mother. You must be happy. You know, she shouldn't call you my daughter. You yourself must make yourself. You see, I met a woman who liked me and I made myself a son. See, to me, you can be somebody's, you know, biological child, but the person is even refusing that you are not my father or my man or my mother. Oh yeah, there are children like that. But you yourself must make yourself a son and a daughter. I make myself a son and a daughter to people. People at my age, and some even, I'm even older than. You see, it is not about age. It is about callings and grace. Eh? You may be age mates, but you are not grace mates. And when God calls somebody and puts a certain grace on them, that's it. If you work at a place, you may be older than your madam, but your madam is now your mother. And you must accept it. You must accept the person who taught you. You see, that they, in this church, like when it comes to business, your work, Carlos is your father. When he calls you, say, yes, yes, father. Yes, yes, father, call him. Eh? No, boss, he said, daddy. You see, I am not there. You see, it's a mindset. It's your daddy. It's your daddy. You see, Dr. Mpia Kofi is my daddy. Amen. When I finish university, he's the one who put microphone, put me on his church platform. He gave me many things. I married his church. Everything is my daddy. The wife is my mommy. I'm older than the wife, everything. It's not about age. It is about calling and grace and things. Yes. Are you getting me? Yes. And the Bible says that if your earthly fathers, they can rebuke you and things, and you take them. How come that when you come to church, your spiritual fathers and go, they tell you things, you get angry. The moment they rebuke you, say, I saw cry, bye, cry, yeah, chia, chia. Hasn't your father slapped you before?
Several times.
Are you sure? You, as you are sitting there, abole like this, your father slapped you. And you took it. In good faith. You didn't slap him back. You didn't erase your name, Agamlo. He said, you gave me the name Jacob, but I'm no more Jacob. Did you do that? Are you learning something here? Listen, nothing should take you away from the church. It's your spiritual home. Eh? You see, the church, it polishes us. I knew one girl many years ago came to church. She was wearing chalewati. But she learned how to dress in the church. Started doing business at Makola, selling on tabletop. Went to pray over her tabletop. Then the business started growing, had the shop and everything. I counseled her in getting married. Today, she lives in New York. Her life has changed. The church changes you. My father used to do a wedding that he was wearing tie, but he never taught me how to put on tie. It was my friend, Abakame. Abakame, I used to teach him scriptures. He also taught me how to put on tie. So within the Christian fraternity, you learn a lot of things. Many of you, as you came to church, your dress has changed. If you like, I will put pictures when you came. You think we don't know you. And when you are giving testimony, one of the testimonies is that I came as a village boy, a village girl. I didn't know how to dress. Didn't you come as a village boy?
Very true. Huh? Very true.
How are you?
Tell us. Cream trouser.
Cream trouser.
Pink top. With cream canvas.
Cream canvas. And now come and let them see how you are dressed now. Come and see how you are dressed now. Isn't that fantastic? You know, he told me a testimony. I was surprised. He said he comes from a totally idol worship background. Eh? What did they used to put on your neck? Give me a microphone quickly. Yeah. What did they used to put there? You see, I want you to the church is a family that changes you.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes. When they give birth to us, mm-hmm. they dedicate us to God, mm-hmm. and they kill a ram, and the horn of the ram. Then you will do some concoction, whatever it is, we don't know. Then you put inside the ram and use a piece of calabash to seal it up and put a rope around it. So that's what we wear as a talisman. You don't have to remove it, you sleep with it, wherever you're going, you wear it on. And we wear dedicated to God. So if every year you will have to naked yourself, then they'll give you a chicken to go and sacrifice to that God. So the only good part of that thing is that when you finish, the chicken belongs to you. And that's how we grew up me with. And we didn't know anything about going to church. Me, our parents were like, they're total unbelievers. Grandparents, parents. In fact, it is through this church that I became born again. My brother became born again. And my grandmother, before she died, we led her to receive Christ.
Amen.
Yes, and it's through this church. So when we came, and then the day Daddy made me a deacon and gave me a cross, I said, praise God, I'll wear it wherever I go. So even at work, I wear it and it's inside. God, for the years that I've worn the talisman, I have to wear the cross to clear it off.
He used to wear talisman, and now he's wearing the cross. Oh, give the Lord a hand of praise. Charlie, the church, it changes us. It gives us hope. Some of you, the way you're married, you wouldn't have married the way you married you. Some foolish boy would have been impregnated you, you know, but now you are, here you are. You had proper traditional marriage, and you are properly married. You've done wedding. We bless your marriage, took nice pictures. You must be thankful to God for the church. Can I have an amen? Yes, thankful to God. Came and met a nice man or a nice woman and things like that. Even the way your English language has changed. Yeah, your English language has changed. Your polish, everything. You look powerful. So the church is a family. I said the church is a family. So when you are in the church, don't get up and something small. No, me, I'm leaving. I'm going to go where? Listen, even if something goes wrong, you know what? Heal yourself. Listen, have you had any issue with your father before? But you settled it. Either you went back and said, Daddy, I'm sorry, or whatever, and all those things. Learn to heal yourself and relate. Yeah. Amen. That takes us to the pastor part. Your pastor is your spiritual father. have an amen? Your pastor is what? It's your spiritual father. Can I have an amen? And your salvation includes your pastor. How you relate with your pastor can determine whether you make it to heaven or not. Because you see, when you get angry, see, everybody has this type of pastor. And when you move away from the type of pastor or father God has given to you, God knows you, and that's why he gave you your type of father. One of our church members, one day I told him, you, the way your life is, if you didn't have your father, the type of father you have as your father, you'd have been in big trouble. Some other fathers, they would have slaughtered you. But his father was a very cool guy, would absorb all the nonsense of the guy. But there are some places when you go, it may look very nice, but go and fool there and see. They will not say a word to you directly, but you see what will follow you. Are you here with me? Yeah, I heard one man of God say, is it me you are dealing this with? You will see. Yes. And because you have crossed a certain line, some things will begin to deal with you. Are you here with me? Oh, I said, are you here with me? Yes. So I'm teaching you something very important. Amen. Jeremiah 3:15, Good News Translation. I will give you pastors after my heart. I will give you. Who will give you? Now I will give you rulers who obey me, and they will rule you with wisdom and understanding. Now do the King James. I'll give you rulers. Do the King James. King James. I will give you who? Pastors according to my heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So who is the one who gives you a pastor? So who gave you a pastor? So is your pastor coming from the gutter? Is it your choice? Who chose your father? Did you choose your father? You were made by the sperm of your father. God chose your father for him to be your father. Amen. New King James, quickly. I think the other one said, I'll give you shepherds. I'll give you shepherds. The one who said, I'll give you shepherds. New King James. I will give you what? Shepherds according to my heart. Now, what do shepherds do? Shepherds what? Feed the flock. Is that not it? Shepherds do what do they do again? Talk to me. What do shepherds? When you have a shepherd, they protect, they lead. They what? They lead. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? Want. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. So you don't lead the shepherd. The shepherd leads you. He maketh me to lie down. He causes the sheep what? To lie down. So it means that the shepherd rules the sheep. The shepherd what? Rules the sheep. The shepherd what? Just like when you are in your home, your father rules you. If you are in the home and your father cannot rule you, then you are there's a big problem. Your father should be able to rule you. Sit down. You are going to see Lady Reverend, Bishop Dark's wife. He said she wanted to be a typist, secretary typist. And the father said, no, you are my daughter. My daughter, you have to become a lawyer. You see, someone will say, typist. Yeah, only call you a typist. He said, I brought you into the world. I want you to be a lawyer. If later on you want to go and become a typist, that's up to you. But you see, as she obeyed his father's word at the university, she met Bishop Dark. And look at what God has used their lives to become. If she disobeyed the father, what would her life become? He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. So in the church, you must allow yourself to be made and to be led. Your pastor, listen, your father is your governor. Your pastor governs you. He must govern you. Not that he's a big man, whatever, and all those who went to the church, he wants to sit. Nobody is sitting on you. But God is governing you. Go and see God. So he's God's representative. He's a gift of God. According to Ephesians 4:11, he gave gifts unto men. He gave gifts unto men. Is that right? For the feeding of the people. Is that right? Yeah. He himself gave some prophets, apostles, evangelists, teachers. He gave. God is the one who gave. What do they do? Verse 12. For what? The equipping of the saints. Some versions say for the training of the saints. For what? The training of the saints. Amen. So your pastor has been giving to you to equip you. That's why this morning I'm equipping you. Yes. I am a spiritual equipper. Sister Lydia, are you here with me? Yes. Do another version so that they will do the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ to build you up. Amen. Hallelujah. Another version, please. New Living World, where he says that for the training. So your pastors were, listen to, I just want to finish this, but I want you to understand. You see, when you don't understand a role of something, you will abuse it and you will fight it. So you must understand that when you come there for your salvation, number one, you must be have faith in God. Number two, have faith in Jesus. Number three, have faith in the Holy Spirit. Number four, have faith in the Word of God. Number five, have faith in the church and your what? Pastor. Amen. So your pastor is what? It's, yeah. Verse what? To train, their responsibility to what? Is to train Christians in skilled servant work. Working within Christ's body, the church. Verse 13. The next verse, until we are all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son. Hallelujah. So the work of the pastor is to train you, is to govern you. Amen. He's a governor. So he can say, sit down. Come. You see, I have this in my Indian pastor friend, Pastor Ellis, Reverend Apostle Ellis. He said, if you are there, and your pastor says, you are even cooking, and say, come. Say, stop the cooking and come. And sometimes you don't know why he's telling you. Sometimes he says, let's fast. He says, there's so much food in my fridge. So, or I just finished fast, I won't fast again. God knows why he says fast. God knows why he's telling you. And if you look at a typical shepherd, what do they have in their hands? Their staff. Is there a rod here? Anybody with a rod? And what do they use a rod for? To direct the sheep. And sometimes they fall into a pit and they use a crook to pull them back. And when they are going the wrong way, they hit them. Is that not go the right way? They hit them and go. They are not hitting them to hurt them. They are hitting them to get them in line so that they move away from danger and destruction. So whatever they are doing is for the good of the sheep. Amen. Some of you are not clapping. You are suspicious. It's for the good. So when you come to church, every preaching we are preaching, whatever, it's not to hurt you. Why should I deliberately want to hurt you? Sometimes when something happens, say, did daddy hurt you? What a question. So it's like he has turned into a devil who is just going around hurting people. You don't know why. It is for your good. And sometimes when you are even correcting your children, quick, sit down. Okay. Sit down. Is that not it? You change your voice. In music, we don't sing monotony. We don't sing. That's why there's modulation. It makes the music nice. So in governing too, there must be modulation of voice. Yes, modulation. That's why even sometimes some people are taken to prison to correct them. I'm into prison ministry. I go to them today. Some of them, the prison is what has reformed them. A certain hardness, a certain toughness on them is what has changed them. So when you come to church, number one, be glad that God has given you a shepherd. Can you imagine a sheep that is coming from Tamale to Accra? Will it reach Accra? A car will hit it, or somebody will mountain it, will collect the sheep, and then it will end up becoming kebab, or enter into somebody's light soup. Sister, if you see the sheep on by the roadside, wouldn't it enter your life soup? Ah! The way I see your mouth, you like you add fufu as well. Oh! And you'll be very happy. The devil wants to eat you up. Are you here with me? But in the church, the church is like mountain climbing. Is that right? Anybody who is a proper mountain climber, we are talking about climbing mountains like Mount Everest, okay, very long, tall mountain. The mountain climber doesn't climb alone. He climbs with a team. People are there. Even the oxygen tanks he has to inhale is being carried by somebody. Then it's moving. then it's moving. Are you here with me? So it means that in your Christian life, you will need people around you to be carrying things around you and to be talking to you and to be helping you. Yes. Did you just get married? You came in the church. People married. People counseled you. Is that not it? People followed you to go and do engagement. Is that not it? Look at how nice you are looking with your nice haircut. That you are climbing a mountain for marriage, and you have to have people to go along. You didn't go alone. So in the church, you are having helpers. Even Jesus in his mission needed Joanna, you know, and some women to help. Jesus needed helpers. He told his disciples, could you not pray with me 1 hour? It means that Jesus needed prayer partners. So how much more the pastor? I need you and you need me. We are a family. That's why I've not abandoned you. That's why when you move away from me, I'm coming to you. If you like, move away, I'll come. Amen. I will come because we are family. Amen. We are family. Have that mindset. And the Bible says that a father is a rock of offense. Are you getting me? Oh, fathers will do things that we don't like. How many of us that are here, our fathers have offended us before? We have sent you. Your father has never offended you. Or you never had a father. Oh, some maybe never saw their father. But there are people, you know, or father figures. Are you getting me? Or teachers. And the father will do something you don't understand. The father will do things you don't understand. But later on you realize that, no, he meant everything for good. So when you are in the church, see your father, your pastor, as a father. In Hebrews 13:17, he says that your pastor will give account. Just say, Hebrews 13:17, quickly. Obey them that have what? The rule over you. And we are read from Good News Version that your pastor is what? He's a ruler. Is that not it? Obey them that have what? The rule over you. And what? Submit yourself. So no matter what, you must what? Obey. Someone say, obey. So for your salvation, you must what? Obey. And that's why today I'm teaching you that don't go and fornicate. Are you getting me? Else you will go and attract, apart from diseases, evil spirits. Eh? Some of you young guys, you feel like Moses Muadi. Sorry, Anna. Ukoya topa topa topa. Ube huwa se usisi na kagwe. See, Achichi usisi. Because you went in for the wrong. Usisi na kagwe. Today the message is Samuel. Yaka shada yakata yataya. So your pastor is advising you. Maybe I'm saving some people today. Are you here with me? I'm saving you. Jesus learned obedience through suffering. My pastor one day sent a message to me. He said, in the evening, he said, erect canopies. Do it. Don't think. Do it. If I send that message to you, you forward it to many people. He said, look at the message daddy sent to me. Now he's telling me I'm senseless. Jesus told Peter. You see, Peter believed in the importance of having a pastor. His pastor was Pastor Jesus. When Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He didn't get up and say, I followed you today. You're calling me Satan. I've left you. I've left your church. Bulu. Bulu. You don't understand. You don't understand. It's bullish behavior. The guy, don't want a bulu. Bulu. Yeah? Yeah. The guns, I think when they wanted to say something, say bulls can be very foolish. The way they hear, no answer, say bulu. When the guns say bulu. Bulu. He knows that he cannot do without Jesus. And he had confidence, so much confidence in Jesus that when Jesus said, get thee behind Satan, he said, yes, sir. And that was what saved him. Two of them, they tried to rebel against Jesus, Judas and Peter. But Peter responded right. Judas didn't respond right. He went and hung himself. It's a message. So two people, you are corrected. When you are corrected, you see, at your workplace, when your boss shouts at you or you do something wrong, you say, oh, boss, please, I'm sorry. But in the church, when we say you are wrong, how was I wrong? How dare you correct me? Hey, how dare we correct you? You are digging a pit. It's a responsibility. You see, never get to the point where your father decides to wash his hands, never to correct you, and never to say anything about you when you are going wrong. Akwala ho na wo maami suro so abeka wasem. Na papa suro so abeka wasem. Na so akwa we dem kan asem o. This one, we don't talk their matter. You are in big trouble. You are not walking under blessing. Am I teaching you something here? You see, some of you, when you share this, you say, oh, and the man maybe is cursing. I'm not cursing you. Why should I curse you? I want you to be blessed. That's why I'm trying to correct you rather. So you receive it with a good heart. Amen. Receive with a good heart, because I'm spending a lot of energy talking to you. If I'm some kind of pastor, I'll just come 15 minutes, 20 minutes, I'll finish. But I want you to get these things very well and learn to relate with your pastors very well. Can I have an amen? Yeah. He says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for what? Your soul. They are watching for your soul. Eh? That's what will happen, that they must give accounts. So listen, if the church and your pastor, they are involved in your salvation pillars, then it means that you must relate well with them. You know that most of the time, before you get a promotion, your boss must give an assent. Yes. One day, a certain pastor went with a certain young man somewhere, and then the man they visited asked him, is this guy a good guy? And the pastor said, yes. He said, well, I have a scar. I wanted to give to somebody, so I'm looking for it. So once you say he's a good guy, I'm going to give. So you see, based on the recommendation of the person, of the pastor, he had a car without sweats. So you're going to heaven. Eh? You're going to heaven. I'm not saying the pastor, Jesus died for you, everything. No pastor died for you. But God has mandated the pastor to be part of the process of you going to heaven by teaching you the word of God. That's why I call you sometimes. When you are not in church, I do this. I follow up on you. Don't get angry with me. I'm doing my work. And you must be happy that you even have your bishop to call you. Because in many churches, your bishop will not call you. When asked, in many churches, even you may not even have pastors. It's just the group leaders. So if we call you, you must be happy. And if we correct you, don't make your face long, twisted and contorted. That we always want us to pamper you. No, we shouldn't pamper you all the time. You must be happy that you were corrected. Amen. The way you are treating your wife is not good. So when we say the way I treat you, so that your wife does not leave you. Because you think you have power over your wife, you keep doing that. One day she will get up and say, I'm tired. And you see how life is like. And don't misbehave towards your husband. That now that you have received the sperms, your husband has become a sperm donor. You have received 1, 2, 3 children. You are disrespecting your husband. Any woman who disrespects your husband is a bad thing. It's a bad omen. And you, if your husband, you should not fear your wife. You should not fear her. So don't fear her. Don't fear her. Because of sex, so you are afraid. Sex and food. Yes, I know. 3 things they'll do to you. They won't give you food. They won't give you sex. And they'll try to manipulate their children and take them away. Now fight on your knees and pray. And all those who do that are under a curse. If you're a wife, and after you have received the sperms of a man, and you turn the heart of the children. When the Bible says the heart of the children must be turned towards their father, and the heart of the children. Listen, if you have a problem with your husband, deal with the man. Don't add the children. When you are were in need of husband, you were praying, shalabaya baya, Lord bless me, shalabaya baya. Now that you got a husband, you are fully doing bulu. We can't advise you. Why can't you be advised? You should be able to take advice. Amen. And you too, the man, when we call you, you must also change your mind and behave well and treat your wife kindly and nicely. Change it. It's not just one way. Don't be a master who is sitting on her. Help her at the kitchen. Amen. Give her chop money. She has her money, but give her some money. You don't like the preaching, but I'm preaching. Buy nice things for her. Take her to shoe shop and say, honey, choose. Don't go and buy the cheap one. He said, well, let her choose for once, let her choose. I like, but me cannot from me, dada. Hallelujah. Am I helping here? Hallelujah. Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, esteem them highly. So esteem them highly. Amen. They'll give account of your soul that they will do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you. Amen. You see, when they mention your name, your pastor must be smiling. Oh, he said, good. He helps me well. He's a wonderful sister. He's a wonderful brother. Are you getting me? Never quarrel with your... Even if your pastor wants to quarrel you with you, run away from the quarrel. Oh, yes. He said, me, I will never quarrel with you. Flee the quarrel. Anything that irritates you, he said, no. If you yourself, you are there, you are feeling some way. He said, I think I'm feeling some way. The love that I used to have, I think is going... Please pray for me. Because I'm connected with you. Are you getting me? I used to go to my pastor and I said, are you okay with me? Are you happy with me? Maybe I'm doing something that you are not happy and then you are not saying it. One day Bishop Dan said something. He said, what is it that is on the mind of your pastor that he has to say but he's not saying? Ask me, what is it on my mind that I have to tell you that I'm not telling you because of your face? Because of your attitude? That I am not telling you. What is it that is on the heart of your husband? That your husband, the way you respond, the way you behave, the way you shout, so he can't say it. What is it on the heart of your wife? He wants to tell you, but he can't say it. Eish. Life Changers Conference. So we are changing lives. Amen. Life Changers Conference. I had to go to him. And not once and not twice. And I still do it. Every night that I go, is everything okay with me? Am I doing this right? Are you happy with me? You should sometimes be able to ask your wife, are you happy with me? Hello? Don't assume that your wife is always happy with you. Oh, don't assume. Hello? Don't assume that your husband is always happy with you. Can't own to me. He's not saying it. He's telling others, but you alone, he's not telling. You that you must hear, he's not telling. Amen. Are you here with me? If you are under a pastor, be submissive. Amen. You can only walk in authority when you are under authority. The centurion said, I am a man under authority. I said to this one, go and go. That's why he told Jesus that, Jesus, I don't need to come. You don't need to come to my house. Just speak. Because I speak and it happens. So you too, you speak. When you're under authority, you walk in authority. To walk even in spiritual authority and cast out demons and go, you must be under the authority of the word of God. Under the authority of Christ. That's why the sons of Sceva, when they went and they said, they went to cast out the spirit, they were beaten. Yeah. They were beaten because they were not working under spiritual authority. Amen. Have you learned something today? Yeah. Amen. Esteem them highly. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13, our last scripture. Tells us about esteem them highly. Yeah, esteem your pastor highly. 1 Thessalonians 5. 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. We beseech you, brethren, to know them or recognize them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Know them. Just so know them. And esteem them what? Very highly in love for their work's sake. Esteem them highly in love. Esteem them what? Highly in love. So don't hate your pastor. Don't say bad things about your pastor. Can I have an amen? And don't kill your pastor. Hello? Do you know a way to kill? You know, Jesus said in Matthew 23, 37 and 38, he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you have killed your prophets. And because of that, you are desolate. Okay, now somebody say, how did we keep our prophets? You don't kill by just putting a knife. To kill means to destroy the influence of the person in your life. When you disconnect yourself such that the person has no more influence in your life, you have killed him. Are you here with me? Yeah. If the person now cannot speak into your life, he said, you stoned and killed your people. You stoned and killed your people. So your killing of your pastor or your prophet means to cut off the influence of the person in your life. So if I'm your pastor and have no more influence in your life, you have killed me. Are you getting me? But I should have influence in your life. I should be able to speak to you. I bless your marriage. I bless your children. I've been preaching to you. Oh, I've been doing many things for you. Bless your companies. Bless this. Pray for you. Pray for this and pray for that. And one day you just get angry with me because maybe I said something or you're unhappy with me and you cut me off. You have fulfilled that scripture in Matthew. Put that scripture there. That's the last scripture. I'm finishing. 23, 37, and 38. Quickly. Oh, read it with me. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that killest the prophets and stones them which are sent unto thee. A pastor is sent unto thee. I'm sent unto you. Bible says he gave some. So God has given me as a prophet unto you. And he said, I would have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but you would not. You see, it means that I was going to bring special blessing to you, but you are not going to permit it because you killed your child. Then he said, behold, your house is left unto you what? Desolate. So when you fight your prophets and you take away the influence of your man of God, listen to me, anybody who has ever laid hands on you, never speak against him. It's a message. It's a conclusion. If you are even unhappy with him, that's why keep quiet. If you praise him, never fight him. I'm teaching you a spiritual thing. I've seen many people who have died prematurely. I've seen many people who have gone mad. Listen, I knew one guy. He told the pastor. He said, I'm going to do ministry. I will show you this. And they misbehaved towards the pastor. The next moment, the wife was mad. Later, the wife died. Why do you go and endanger your family? And not that the pastor said anything. Don't say no. Sometimes, you see, you kick against the brick. You do some things. Are you here with me? And that is why you should never stand there for anybody to misbehave. And at the end of the day, the person, you are close to the person. I went to visit a lady. She's my good friend. Oh, she's a nice lady. When you visit her and then they give you the water you drink from, the glass you drink water from, when you drink here, you are satisfied. One day I went and I saw her, the way she was dealing with her parents. The father was a big man, big lawyer. The uncle was a big pharmacist. The mother had a big school. Everything about them was big. Me, I was a little potato. Trying to go to this house. The day I saw her, the way she was talking to her, I said, that's the end. From that day, I've never stepped in a house. I don't want to be part of this. And when your friend is misbehaving or somebody is doing something, listen, you must choose God over husband, wife, children, friends. God must be God. Sometimes the person you are supporting, will even leave you one day. I've seen it. I've seen husbands who followed wives. Wives have clear off. Or wife who was following husband said, go away. Be a God person. Be somebody who believes in the Bible. When your friend is wrong, he said, sister, I love you. You're my friend. But this thing you did was bull. Was foolish. You see, a friend should be frank with your other thing. I said, please don't do that. I hold your hand. Let's go. Let's go and do it. Let's go. Go and make amends. Let's go. Go on. This thing that he said. Let's fix it. You are going to fix it. Then you fix it. Then you flow. Am I teaching you something? Thank you. Father, bless her. Make her a mighty woman. A woman of the spirit. Let your grace abound over her life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Are you blessed? I said, are you blessed? Yes. Hallelujah. So number one pillar, believe in who? Have faith in God. Number two, have faith in? That's right. Number three, have faith in the Holy Spirit. It's very important to, you miss the Holy Spirit, you misbehave. You miss the Holy Spirit, you'll be a married wife and you'll be sleeping around. And there will not be anything about, you don't see anything bad with it. And a lot of times, let me tell you, your friends influence you. Those of you who have got bad friends, your friends will always influence you. Any bad friend, drop them today because they are taking you to hell. Are you here with me? Yes. Any bad boy in your life, let the bad boy go away. Any bad girl who is trying to hold on you, he says, okay, I don't want you to kill me early. Kill me softly. Number four, have faith in the word of God. Read the Bible every day. Are you reading the Bible? Is that what it's on you? Let me see your notes. He's not writing. No, don't tell me. Flee. Number five. Have faith in what? Your church. It's a good church. It's a good family. It's a good church. Anybody wants to say, listen, he wants to say something bad about your family, say no. Do you sit down for people to say bad things about your family? You now, you know that sometimes things are not nice, but you still support your family. Learn to say good things. Some of you, all of you, are your father's very nice fathers, but still your father. Yeah. So we too may have, but it's forever. Amen. I will worship you, lift you high above the earth and the heavens. I will worship you, oh, lift you high above the earth and the heavens. You are Lord, you are Lord. Say, Holy Spirit, lead me to the right people when it comes to marriage, right businesses, right enterprises. Help my children, help my family to know you and to love you. Say, Lord, from today, help me to have faith in your word and faith in your church. Say, in my church and in my pastors that you have given to me. Help me to love them and respect them and appreciate them because they are part of my salvation process. Lord, may my heavens be open from today. May May your rays
come upon me.
Do something new,
in my life.
As I've entered
a ninth month,
cause me
to birth
uncommon favor,
uncommon peace,
uncommon promotion,
your honor
and your glory.
Let your kingdom come.
Let your will
be done
in my life.
I need you
and I want you.
I pray
your blessing,
your supernatural,
your influence,
your might,
your goodness,
and your glory.
As I clap my hands,
I declare
your goodness.
I pray
every good thing
that belongs to me,
that my eyes
have not seen.
May my eyes see.
May my hands handle
it.
Oh Lord,
bring me help.
Every man
and every woman
that I need
in my life,
let them locate
my address
from today.
Right now,
in the name
of Jesus,
yesterday
is gone.
Last month
is gone.
Another day,
another week,
another month
has come.
Do something new
in my life.
Open your mouth.
Talk to God.
Just in 2 minutes.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Open your mouth and talk to God.
Open your mouth and talk to Him.
Open your mouth.
Open your mouth and talk to Him.
Open your mouth and talk to Him.
In the name of Jesus, lift your voice.
Oh yes, do something new.
Oh Mama Shaka.
Lord, move mountains.
Let walls fall.
Let walls fall.
Have your way in my life.
In the name of Jesus.
Move mountains.
Move mountains.
Let walls fall.
Let every limitation
bow
to the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
You move mountains.
You cause walls to fall.
Your power perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible, and we stand in here only because you move mountains.
You move mountains.
You cause walls to fall. With your power
perform miracles.
Perform miracles.
There is nothing
that's impossible. Oh, and we stand in here only because you made a way.
God is making a way for you this month.
You made a way.
When Abbas
were against the wall, and it looks as if it was over, You made a way.
When our backs were against
the wall, and it looked as if it was over, you made a way.
And we're standing here.
Only because you've been
standing here.
You move mountains.
You cause walls to fall. With your power,
you perform miracles.
There is nothing that is impossible. And we're standing here only because you've been.
Put your hand on your chest, everybody. Father, cause that the five pillars of salvation be well formed in our hearts. That we will have faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, faith in the Holy Spirit as one who convicts us, reproves us of sin, and cause us to be sensitive to wrong things and direct our paths. Faith in your word and faith in the church and in the pastors you have given to us. Help us never to miss our way, but to make it to heaven. Any trap, anything that will sway us off, today we escape that trap. In the name of Jesus. And I pray that you give us a new heart. For when the Holy Spirit came upon Saul, you gave him a new heart. When the Holy Spirit came upon David, you caused him to kill Goliath. Any Goliath fighting your people, today may that Goliath bow. We curse every Goliath spirit set against your people. We cut off their head. And we command all the Philistines that have accompanied them to run away. Any snake, any python sent to poison us and to strangle your people, choking their lives, choking their marriages, choking their children, choking their businesses. Listen to me right now in the name of Jesus. All you foul spirits, that spirit of a dragon will crush your heart. We destroy your activity. And now we speak the fire of the Holy Spirit to consume all demonic assignments regarding your life. All demonic assignments, loose your hold now. Chains break now. Oppression be destroyed now. And Lord, whatever belongs to your people, let it locate the address now. I call for helpers. I call for financiers. I call for good marriages.
Yes, Lord.
I call for lovely children.
Yes,
I call for that you make them grandparents,
Jesus,
and great grandparents.
Yes,
I call for that the project that they have begun, may they finish it.
Yes, Lord.
With speed.
Amen.
In record time.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Numbers 11, he said, a wind from the Lord blew quails. May the wind of the Holy Spirit blow into your life.
Yes, Lord.
What you have desired.
Yes, Lord.
Give you more than enough.
Amen.
More than you can carry.
Amen.
Receive now.
I receive it.
Receive now.
I receive,
receive
it.
Now.
I receive,
receive
it.
The joy of the Lord.
Yes,
receive
Lord.
Receive the power of the Lord.
Amen.
Receive the presence of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Receive the glory of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You receive the might of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray for grace.
Jesus.
Grace for ease.
Amen.
Whatever used to be difficult.
Yes, Lord.
Somebody have a heart condition. There are three people who are having issues like that.
So
the Lord touch your heart right now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Five people who are going through certain kinds of pain.
Jesus.
Very confused.
Jesus.
May the Lord heal your inner man.
Amen.
Right now.
Amen.
You went through some episodes in the past 2-3 weeks.
Yes,
may the Lord.
Lord
God Almighty touch a situation.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. Eight people, you went through some serious disappointment.
Jesus.
I call forth that whatever, let there be a reappointment.
Yes,
and whatever
Lord.
The enemy swept away.
Yes,
let
Lord.
Be drawn back unto you.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's where somebody, you are on a slippery ground. On
Jesus.
A slippery ground. But
Jesus.
From today, may the Lord set you up.
Amen.
On the rock to stay.
Amen.
On the rock to stay.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Christ of Nazareth.
Yes, Lord.
The Son of the living God.
Yes, Lord.
Shabahakoriaba. Somebody you dreamt and somebody used his back hand and then push you backwards.
Jesus.
Whatever is supposed to be a setback,
Jesus.
May the Lord carry your life forward.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
The Lord give you a song and a testimony.
Amen.
May you triumph in all that you do.
Amen.
In this month of September.
Yes, Lord.
May the Lord who honors, may he honor you.
Amen.
The Lord who blesses, may he bless you.
Amen.
The Lord who progresses, may he progress you.
Amen.
The Lord who favors, may he favor you.
Amen.
May he give you a new song.
Jesus.
And a testimony.
Jesus.
In Jesus' precious name. Somebody shout a big amen.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God.